Good afternoon. My name is Renee Giacchino. I'm Corporate Counsel for the Center for Individual Freedoms. To learn more about my organization or if you want to sign up for our free lunchtime Liberty Update, please visit our website at www.cfif.org. While you're there, you'll have an opportunity to click on the podcast versions of many of the interviews which we conduct right here on 1330 WEBY. I'd like to start out by talking about an issue that I think we're going to hear a lot more about in the coming weeks and months. The administration's honeymoon period is just about over. We're going to start, I think, to see a flurry of legislation be introduced in Congress, and perhaps one of the issues that will be taken up is the issue of civil justice reform. Here to help us understand what it is that we're talking about, what it is that Washington will be talking about when we talk about civil justice reform, is one of the gentlemen who is with the Heritage Foundation. He's actually a visiting legal scholar with the Heritage Foundation. Please welcome Hans von Spakovsky, and I apologize that I butchered your last name. I practiced it only about 10 times, but if it's okay, I'll just refer to you as Hans.
Renee, you did just fine.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Before we talk generally and a little more specifically about civil justice reform, tell us a little bit about the Heritage Foundation, although I suspect that most of the listeners know quite a bit about the Heritage Foundation, but for some of the folks who that name is new to them, if you tell us a little bit about Heritage.
Sure. I think Heritage is probably considered the leading conservative think tank in the country, and they produce lots of policy studies and memoranda and analysis on many, many issues, everything from legal issues to economic issues for everyone who's been following the so-called stimulus plan that's being considered. We've done a lot of memorandum that have taken a look at what is really in that bill and what effect it would have on our economic system, and that's just one example of the kind of things we do.
Okay, and what does it mean to be a visiting legal scholar with the Heritage Foundation?
Well, I was on the Federal Election Commission for 2 years, and before that I was at the Department of Justice, and now I am in the Legal and Judicial Studies office here looking at various legal issues, including civil justice reform for the Heritage Foundation.
Fabulous. Well, if for folks who happen to be sitting at a computer, if you want to pull it up, you can do so at www.heritage.org. If we have a little bit of time, I'd like to pick your brain at the end of the interview about the stimulus plan and where you think this whole thing may be headed. But first, I'd like to talk what we talked about when I brought you on the air first, is the issue of civil justice reform. And you co-authored a memorandum, a memo to President-elect, then now President Obama, titled Promoting the General Welfare Through Civil Justice Reform. Let's go back to basics. What is it that should come to mind when we talk about civil justice reform? What does that term mean?
It means having a judicial system and having government regulations that do two things. I mean, one, you want a regulatory and a business and litigation landscape in which businesses, entrepreneurs, and investors can thrive, but also one in which consumers are protected. And, you know, sometimes people refer to this as tort reform, but it encompasses a much larger area. And while many people looking at the economic problems we're experiencing right now might think, well, this issue is probably a second-tier thing we should worry about. Actually, it's something we should worry about in conjunction with our economic problems, because if you have the wrong kind of litigation system, if you have overburdensome government regulations, those are job killers. Those are things that hurt the ability of the United States to recover, because those are things that drive people out of business. It's things that prevent investors from investing and building new plants and new businesses. And, you know, if you look at some of the states, for example, that are the worst in the country in terms of abuses in their systems, they also have the worst economic growth of other states.
Well, it's interesting because in the second hour of the program, in about an hour from now, we're going to talk with former Senator Charlie Ross from Mississippi. And I think they, you know, are a case study, you could probably attest to this, of how a state can turn around its economic system when they implement civil justice reform.
Yeah, no, Charlie Ross is just a great guy. And he and Governor Haley Barbour are chiefly responsible for turning Mississippi around and passing tort reform in 2004. And, you know, a couple of years after that, 2007, Toyota announced it was going to build a $1.3 billion plant in Mississippi. And I am sure that when you're talking to Senator Ross, he'll probably be the first to tell you that if they had not put tort reform in that state, Toyota would not have built a plant there.
That's an interesting thought. Do you mind if we take a phone call?
Sure, go ahead.
Go ahead, AJ, it's your turn.
I'm glad you're covering this subject because of this nasty stimulus package, which is not going to accomplish nothing. Myself and some other colleagues have stated point blank that, you know, what is needed is not only tort reform, but we need a business-friendly environment in all 50 states. A lot of these companies, when they do want to set up someplace, unfortunately, they're going to fight with the environmentalists who need grant money to continue on with the cause. So is your movement in general going to, you know, basically have a very strong conservative point where you guys are going to start fighting back against these guys? Because our country ain't going to last the way it's going right now economically. And I'll hang up and I'll let you answer.
Thanks, AJ.
Well, if you look at the various analyses that we've put out about this, as I say, so-called stimulus plan, I mean, frankly, our analysis is that it's a very bad idea. It's not really a stimulus plan. It's a spending plan. And the amount of money that is going to be spent, a lot of it borrowed at high interest rates, is not going to be good for the American economy.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you raise that because I was shocked to read. I mean, you know, when you hear the word stimulus, I mean, automatically what should come to mind is jumpstart. You want to do something to jumpstart the economy. And I know, you know, in the last attempt that they had to stimulate the economy, they gave people money. A lot of that money did not end up back into the economy. People put it in their savings accounts, maybe paid off bills that they had, but they didn't necessarily take that money out and go and spend it someplace new or on you know, things that would promote our economy. But am I correct in that I recently read that in the latest you know, rendition of this, quote, stimulus plan, that a lot of it calls for spending 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road? That, to me, that's not stimulating anything.
No, in fact, that's correct. The spending is spread out. And again, if you look at the things the money is being spent on, I mean, a lot of it is to enormously grow the size of the federal government. And that is not the kind of thing that contributes to jump-starting the American economy. The kind of tax cuts, tax credits, the kind of things that will make businesses start hiring again and expanding their business and get consumers out and buying, those kind of things are not really in the stimulus plan.
All right, let's go back to AJ's comment/question. The Heritage Foundation is the preeminent conservative think tank in the nation. So what do you do to get folks both back into the conservative movement and those people, when you have them there, or those people who are already there, how do you get them talking about this in such a fashion that, you know, it garners the support of folks whose support we need to make sure that the stimulus package doesn't pass as it is?
Well, you know, we're a nonpartisan organization, and we don't lobby Congress.
Darn.
But what we do is we try to put out good analysis of proposals that are made like this, and you know, we have done a lot in terms of putting out papers on this and doing op-eds in talking and doing radio and TV interviews, trying to get people to understand, the average voter particularly, what is being proposed here, and what it's really going to do, and the amount it's really going to cost the American people. I think actually, if you look at some of the polling of Americans and their views towards this, I think the word is beginning to get out. You know, the majority of Americans don't think the stimulus plan is a good idea, and most of them don't think that this kind of spending, particularly on increasing the size of government, is either a good idea or that it's going to do anything to solve some of the economic problems we have right now.
All right, so you get out there, you educate people.
Yes.
Once they have a better understanding, then someone, whether it's Heritage or the, you know, individuals at a grassroots level, we need to educate our legislators on this, right?
Yeah, and let me tell you, if there's anything I've learned about being in Washington for the past few years, it's that, you know, legislators do listen when voters and their constituents call, email, and write their offices. And, you know, I encourage your listeners that if they have an opinion about this stimulus plan, that they should call their particular congressional representatives or send them a message and tell them what they think about it and how they think their representative should vote on it.
Okay, we're going to take another call. Go ahead, Lewis. It's your turn. Hi, Lewis.
Thanks for taking my call, Renee.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, and I didn't catch your guest's name, so but hello anyway.
Hans, yes.
Hans?
Yes,
yep.
He's okay. With the Heritage Foundation.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a conservative, and I'd like to make a statement about the stimulus plan. It's not a stimulus plan. It's a spending plan. That's number one. Number two, I'm just wondering, there's a lot of great ideas floating around. I got a lot of friends, you know, we talk on the Internet and whatever, even at work. And there's a couple of them that's come up, and I was wondering, you know, get your take on it. And one of them was Remortgage America. That's one that I kind of like. And another one I got from a really good friend of mine who's a businessman. He came up with, why don't they give the money, give some of that money to the SBA, the Small Business Administration, and let them do their magic on it. So let me get your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up and listen, okay?
Thank you so much. Lewis, before you hang up, tell me,
yes.
tell us, I don't understand, and maybe Hans does, what you mean by Remortgage America?
Well, there's a fella, and I forget what his name is, but he's come up with an idea to Remortgage America by issuing, say, 1.5-2% mortgage loans to everybody that qualifies, which would definitely stimulate, because these people would have to remortgage their homes and put money back in the system. That'd be a whole lot better than having people go flat on their loans and not paying them. So the mortgage companies would recoup some of their loss. They wouldn't make as much money as this, but at least they wouldn't be losing money, and
right.
We won't have to pay for it.
Okay. All right, thank you. That helps me understand it better. All right, well,
okay.
Go ahead, and if you could help answer Lewis's questions in whatever order you prefer.
Well, Renee, the first thing I have to tell everybody listening is I hope they'll remember I am not an economist. I mean, I'm a lawyer, and my area really is civil justice reform. But I can say the one thing that everyone needs to consider is that, you know, the whole crux and the whole beginning of this economic crisis we're in is because of the way the government, not private mortgage companies, but the way the government was forcing banks and mortgage lenders to lend money to individuals who did not meet the kind of credit standards that they should meet before they have loans. And while there are problems and there are problem loans, you know, the vast majority of Americans in this country are still meeting their mortgage requirements. And we have to be very careful in anything we do that we don't hurt the average American taxpayer who is not behind in their mortgages and who are paying their mortgages. And we've got to be sure that we don't do anything that hurts them.
All right, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a caller on hold, and I do want to talk a little bit more about civil justice reform, whether it's a state issue or a federal issue. Let's go a little more into your area of expertise. I know we all are interested in the stimulus, and the Heritage Foundation has a lot of great stuff up on their website at heritage.org relating to that. But I think one of the things that maybe is overlooked is that, in fact, if we had civil justice reform, you know, as you mentioned, if we had a regulatory and business landscape in which businesses, entrepreneurs, and investors can thrive and consumers are protected, it might just, in fact, stimulate our economy. What a novel idea. We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. Say that for me, please.
It's Spakovsky.
Spakovsky. Hans von Spakovsky, and he is with the Heritage Foundation. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio. The phone lines are open, so call in and join the conversation at 623-1330.
All right, hopefully you just heard that our fearless leader, Mike Bates, is at Nicky's in Gulf Breeze, one of my favorite restaurants. If you go there, I would highly recommend the tuna pita sandwich or the Greek salad, both of which are wonderful. My kids love their pizza. All right, back to the topic at hand. We are talking with Hans von Spakovsky, who is with the Heritage Foundation, and we're talking about the issue of civil justice reform. Now, to a lot of folks, when they hear civil justice reform, some folks in the litigation arena, some of the lawyers out there say, well, you're just trying to take money away from consumers. You're trying to take away their rights so that they can't sue corporations. This is really just business-friendly term when you talk about civil justice reform. How do you respond to that, Hans?
That really is not true. I mean, no one is talking about, when you're talking about tort reform, about civil justice reform, of setting up a system that hurts consumers and lets corporations and people who manufacture goods and provide services, you know, get away with whatever they want to do. What we want is a fair system, something that both protects consumers but also allows businesses to thrive and doesn't hit them with abusive lawsuits and punitive damages that they don't deserve. Because, you know, a local jury sees an out-of-state corporation and thinks, well, you know, we can give a big award to one of our locals, and it's not going to hurt us. And they don't understand that when they do that kind of thing, it hurts their economy, it scares companies away from investing there, and it overall hurts consumers.
And the article that you, or the memo to then-President-elect, now-President Obama, titled Promoting the General Welfare Through Civil Justice Reform, you noted that the U.S. tort system costs our economy billions of dollars each year. The numbers you offer are $246 billion, or, I mean, this brings it a little closer to home, $845 for every person, and that's based on 2003 numbers,
right,
alone. Is this an issue, and I think maybe AJ or someone alluded to this, is this an issue that we need to look at a national level, at a state level, at a local level, at all three? What are your thoughts on that?
It's at all three, and it depends on the situation. And I'll give you a quick example. You know, there are times when you want to look at a problem from a national basis, and there are times when federal preemption is important. And a good example is, we just gave how many billions of dollars to our car manufacturers because they are having severe economic problems. And yet at the very same time that we did that, President Obama announced that rather than the car manufacturers having to meet one standard for emissions for their cars that's set by the federal government in Washington,
the CAFE standard,
yeah, that he is now going to consider allowing individual states to set their own standards for emissions. Well, that means that car manufacturers who are already faced with, you know, increasing manufacturing costs, they may have to build cars that meet 50 different standards from 50 different states, which will hurt them economically and make it very difficult for them to compete. That's not the way we want to go in a situation like this. On the other hand, in the area of medical malpractice, we should allow the states to put in tort reform and to put in the kind of successful reforms that have allowed places like Mississippi to, on the one hand, allow patients who are injured to successfully get compensated for their claims when they're injured, but on the other hand, not have a system that's so abusive that you drive doctors out of the states and that you force doctors to practice defensive medicine by ordering the kind of tests and other things that are not needed. And, you know, Mississippi, they had a huge decrease in their malpractice premiums after they passed tort reform, and doctors who were leaving the states, that quit happening.
And that's an interesting part of this paper. Again, you can find it at heritage.org. There's a whole section on supporting medical liability reform while still respecting the role of the states. All right, we've got about a minute and a half. Go ahead, Miami Ed, it's your turn.
Yeah, you know, what has lawsuits done to general aviation? I'd like for you to comment on that. The other one is Barack is getting rid of the statute of limitation on certain cases. You know, how can somebody defend that, no matter for what it is? You know, if it happened 20 years ago, it's impossible. And I'm sorry that I got a lot of wind, but I would just like you to comment on those two. And thank you very much. Very interesting.
Thank you, Miami Ed. We appreciate it. We got about a minute left, Hans.
I'll try to do that quickly in a minute. Yes, you know, we almost lost the ability to build small planes in this country because of abusive lawsuits that were making claims of product liability against our manufacturers. And it was only some years ago when Congress passed a statute limiting those kind of claims that there was a general comeback in our general aviation manufacturing business. The Ledbetter Act, I think, is what the caller was referring to. This was a law that Congress just passed and which President Obama just signed, which basically gets rid of a statute of limitations for any claims for pay discrimination. Now, obviously,
we are out of time. Well, we will have you come back and talk about as these things develop, but we do appreciate your time. Go to heritage.org. Hans, thanks so much.